Now, to be happy, you've got to get over there. And the Lord has given us the opportunity in this lifetime that we can know for sure that we can go over there. And praise the Lord for His grace and mercy to us, that He gives us opportunity to hear the Word of God, gives us opportunity to do the Word of God, gives us the opportunity to be a child of the Lord. I'll tell you what, that makes this side of eternity much better, just to know that we have Him as our Lord and our Savior. If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, we'll read verse number 1 and verse number 2. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says in verse 1, Exodus 5, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh." Now notice what they say to this leader, this Pharaoh of Egypt. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said," now here's what God said on the verse 1. Verse number 2 says, "And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Who is the Lord? Well, that's a timed question from the beginning of time, when the Lord spoke everything into existence, when God said, in the beginning, let there be light, and all the things that took place that creation week. Now we have some many, many years that have passed by, and really a lot of years, sometimes more than we would think about. But from the time that Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt, there from the land of Goshen, of course Joseph has already been there a number of years, as the brothers have betrayed and tricked their father and said that Joseph was dead. They sell Joseph into bondage. But later on, of course, as we know the story, Joseph is revealed unto his brothers and to his father. And there was a great famine in the land, and so they make a trip from the land of Israel, the promised land where they had been, and they make a trip to Egypt because they heard that there was corn, there was food in Egypt. Now, we know why there was. We know why that there's provision there. It's because of the young man named Joseph that God had blessed so very abundantly as he was faithful to the Lord. Now, 430 years has passed. Somewhere around 430 years has passed from the time that Jacob and his family moved from Israel unto the land of Egypt. You know, when we think about that 400-year period, the Scripture gives us this 400-year period, that what had taken place and how that they had now had to go to Egypt to receive food and receive goods. There's another 400 years in the Scripture, and that's between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, the last book of the Old Testament, the first book of the New Testament. Now, we can just turn over a page, and we are immediately in a New Testament and in the book of Matthew. But it took 400 years for God to once again speak to Israel because of their sin against the Lord and their rebellion against God. There was no communication from God to Israel. It is called 400 silent years. They didn't have any prophets of God. They didn't have any open vision. They didn't have any word from the Lord. 400 years without the impression or the things that God would say. You know, that's a long time. That's a long time when things are going well, but that's a real long time when things are not going good. And so 400 years there between Malachi and Matthew. The Bible's silent, and there's nothing else given. But then there comes a man on the scene named John. He came from God, and he prepared the way for the Lord. You know, God always answers, and God has always had a deliverer. in the land of Egypt, the deliverer was going to be Moses. Moses was prepared by the Lord, and he was given time and opportunity that God would deal in his heart and in his life. And so God had a man come on the scene, and he led the people of Israel out. And here he comes, and he speaks to Pharaoh, but he speaks not his words. He speaks the word of the Lord. He was a man of God. He was the prophet of God. He was the man that God was using to convey his thoughts and his words to those there of Egypt. And so he comes and and speaks unto Pharaoh, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." Moses identified who was speaking. Moses identified not only who he was, but identified the relationship that he had with the people that were in bondage. He is the God of Israel. I'm glad this morning that he's more than the God of Israel. I'm glad he's the God of all. And he's the God that we serve. He's the God that we have in our life. He's the God of this world. And so when Moses came and he said, "Now God has a message for you, Pharaoh, and you need to listen because God said, 'Let my people go.'" Now Pharaoh should have said, "Well, if God said that, then I guess I ought to obey that." He should have said, "If that's what your God has said, then I want to be obedient and I want to be helpful to you, and y'all can just leave." Well, that wasn't Pharaoh's heart. That was Pharaoh's intention. And certainly that wasn't what Pharaoh did. And so we find that these periods of time that have come and gone, we're talking about those 400 years of silence and 400 years that have taken place, and you can read the passage of Scripture. There's a cycle that goes in contrast to years. The cycle is that truth is always followed by apostasy. When a people have truth, after a period of time, they literally would turn their back upon that truth, and they are what is called apostatized. They no longer believe the truth. And that's what happened to Israel. That's what's happened in the world. That's what's happened in our country. We have had the truth, but we've turned our back upon that. And that's one of the cycles that to go through. Another cycle is that they go from spiritual freedom to spiritual bondage. We are set free. We have liberty. But now we are in bondage because we have rejected the Lord and His Word. That's what's happening in our country. We are seeing many, many things that are coming before our eyes that just a few years ago we wouldn't even thought about would take place. But we have rejected truth, and so therefore we have followed the way of the world, and we have left our truth and have turned from that. So therefore our freedom has been overtaken by bondage, spiritual darkness. And then we go from believing to becoming literally a reprobate or a non-believer that will not accept anything from God. Now Pharaoh was that type of person. And he said, "Who is the Lord?" Moses said, "The Lord said." Pharaoh said, "What does that matter to me?" Moses said, "The God of Israel makes this statement, and you are to let our people go. Just let us go into the wilderness so we can have our feast." The feast that they were to have was a time that they worshiped their God. And they could not do it in the land of Egypt. You know what? You and I this morning, we can't worship God. We can't serve God. We can't be what we ought to be as long as we're in that spiritual bondage. As long as we're away from God, as long as we're intermingled in the things of the world, we have a hard time worshiping the Lord. And we need to be separate from that. I've got a note here in the last part of bottom of that verse number 1. It says separation from the world. Now, we have to have separation from the world before we can truly worship. And that is true. The Lord said, "Let us go." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord?" He was honest in his question, for Pharaoh certainly did not know him. Israel was in hard bondage, and God had sent Moses, and now he delivers the message to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord?" This morning, just for a little bit, I'd like for us to think about some things about who is the Lord.
Now, time would not permit, nor would mentality permit, for us to go into all the different attributes of who God is. Well, I can't even hardly comprehend God. I can't hardly imagine that there is a God in heaven that knows everybody and everything and knows everything about everybody. That's hard for this little old mind of mine to accept. And if you'll be honest, it's hard for you to accept. It's hard for us to comprehend that we have a God that is so great and has so much. We cannot grasp His being. We know that He is because the Bible says, in the beginning, God. We know that He exists. We know that He's there. But we have a hard time grasping. And sometimes we might even have the same attitude that Pharaoh said, who in the world is the Lord? Who is He that I should obey Him? And so this morning, I'm glad I know Him. Now, I don't know all about Him. I don't know everything I need to know. I don't know everything I want to know. But one day I shall, because we'll be in His presence. But I'm glad that I know Him, and I'm far more happy that He knows me. Praise the Lord. He knows us and has our livelihood in His view and in His sight. So we cannot grasp all the things about God, but we surely can understand that He loves us and cares about us. I'm glad I know Him, and we can know some things about the unknowable, the untouchable, the unreachable. We can't go to where God is, not right now, but one day He's going to take us to where He is. We can't in our own mind dismiss our spirit as Jesus did, but one day we're going there, and I can know a little bit about Him. And by the way, the only thing that I can know about Him for sure is what's in this book. Now, you can turn on your TV set, and so would say, now, God said, and it's foreign to the Scripture. And if it is, you ought to lay it down. Just don't even just turn it off. That'd be the best thing. No need to pay for the electricity because you're wasting it. And when we find that when people say things, that this is what God says or this is what God does, and it doesn't come up to the place of the Word of God, what God tells us, then we know that it is wrong. And so we know that God made man in His own image, and He made us to commune with Him. He made us to fellowship with Him. And the only way we can do that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book that I have before me this morning, it's a wonderful book. There's not a book like it that's ever been written. There's not a book that's alive. There's no book that's alive, but this book is alive. It has life within it. It gives us life. It gives us understanding. And God gave it to man, and God gives man the basis of faith that he can believe it. You see, that's why we believe that salvation and our relationship with the Lord is all of God, nothing of man. I have nothing to do with my salvation. I had no way of being saved except God came to me and called me and drew me by His power and by His presence, by His Holy Spirit, believing the Word of God that is miraculously given to us. And so therefore, I'm glad that I can know Him through the wonderful book of the Word of God. It gives man the knowledge of things that otherwise he would not know. You see, we would not know that we're sinners if we did not have this book. We would not know that there is a heaven or a hell without this book. We would not know that we would die if we die without God. We go to a place called hell, and a place that is a real place that if we didn't have the book, we wouldn't know about that. And so this morning, God has given us a wonderful book that we can have knowledge of things that we would not know otherwise. We know the earth is round. The child of God would know that before even man discovered it. We study in our histories and our early world histories that they thought the earth was flat. You know why they thought that? They didn't read the book. They didn't have the Bible. They thought if you just go off when you got out of sight, you just fell off the end of the world. We know the earth is round by not only experience, but the Scripture talks about the circle of the earth. And so God gives us things that we would not normally know. We know the water cycles. We know the springs. We know the oceans, the mountains, the bottom of the sea. We know that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Doctors would bleed people trying to help them, and literally they were killing them because they did not understand that we live because the blood is the life of the flesh. And Leviticus tells us that. And so this book gives us wonderful knowledge about life and what we know about God.
Our text, we find there's a confrontation between God and Pharaoh. I don't have to tell you who won the battle. But there's a confrontation here between Pharaoh and between God. Verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord God." Here's the confrontational statement. Here's what God says, Pharaoh. You know, every man and every woman, every boy, every girl is confronted with the reality of God. There is a knowledge that there is God in heaven. It's not an argument. It's just simply a declaration that there is a God. And so we find this morning that God comes to Pharaoh, and He comes through Moses, and the Lord said, "Let my people go." And so here Moses gives this man Pharaoh, that's wicked, doesn't know anything about God, and he comes to him and says, "Now, Pharaoh, my God says, let us go." And Pharaoh says, "Who do you think I am? And who do you think you're talking to? And who is, by the way, who is your God? I know not him." You see, almost every indigenous people in this world, did you realize that just about everybody that lives upon planet Earth has some kind of belief that there is a God? They maybe have never seen a Bible. They maybe have never read the Scripture. They maybe have never heard a sermon. They have not seen a preacher. They have no idea what we're talking about. But in their depths of their soul, they believe that there is someone somewhere out there that is a God. You can talk to the different tribes of this world, and you'll find that they have a worship system. So you see, atheism is, if nobody believed that, atheism would be just normal, be natural. But atheism has to be an acquired belief, because the world believes that there is a God. May not be our God, but they believe there's a God. And so every man, I believe, is illuminated by the light that God gives him. For in the Scripture it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life that was light of men." Now notice verse 5. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And then verse number 6 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." I believe there is a certain illumination that God gives to the world, that there is a God out there. And yet Pharaoh said, "Who's God? Who is He that I should obey Him?" You know, there's a lot of people today that are saying the same thing. "Who is God that I should obey Him?" They may have heard of our God. They may have heard a message. They may have read a Bible. They may have read different scriptures. But yet, they come to the conclusion that, "Who is God that I'm going to obey Him? Who does He think He is telling me what I ought to do?" Well, I'll tell you who He is. He's God. And so when the Lord came through Moses and made the statement, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness," God said, "I'm desiring to have fellowship with my people." And to do that, they've got to separate from Pharaoh. They've got to separate from Egypt. You and I this morning, if we're going to really have good fellowship with our Lord, we have to separate from Egypt. Egypt is always, in the Scripture, it is always a type of a world without God. And so, God comes to Pharaoh and He just simply says, "Let my people go." Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord." Now sometimes we're confronted with the same thing. Even as believers, we're confronted with, "Thus saith the Lord." And we either accept it or we reject it. We have that opportunity. Sometimes, many times, as unbelievers, they hear the Word of God preached, they hear the message given, and it is, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, don't presume that I presume. Don't think that I think that I speak in the stead of God like Moses did, because that was a special gift that God gave to the Old Testament saints.
But as a preacher of the gospel and as a preacher of the Word of God, we convey the Word of the Lord that has already been spoken, has already been given, and people will either accept it or they will reject it. Thus saith the Lord. This blessed old book that we preach and we believe and we hold, this book that we stand by, it says, he that is athirst, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And people will either accept that or they'll reject it. We are proclaiming the Word that has already been given. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're just proclaiming the Word that is there. But people will either accept it or they will reject it. And so Pharaoh's now the confrontation is, who's the Lord? His comment now, his question is given, who is He? And this question was, it was maybe legitimate. He didn't know who God was, but maybe it was not legitimate. It may have been because, not legitimate because I'm sure he'd already heard about God. Read the books. Now we do know, again, if we're not careful, we'll let terminology trick us. This Pharaoh is different. He's a different man than the Pharaoh when Joseph and Jacob came to the land of Egypt. That Pharaoh saw many, many things. Pharaoh is just, it's not a name as such, it's a title. So like we call different men, president. Pharaoh was the leader of Egypt. And so when this Pharaoh comes, the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Exodus chapter 1. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Exodus chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, now there arose a new king or new Pharaoh over Egypt. And he was, which knew not Joseph. Now you read the book of Genesis, you'll find Joseph had influence upon that Pharaoh, upon that leader when he was living. He had a great influence upon that man. But now we find there's a man that comes on the scene. He's the king. He's the Pharaoh. And he did not know Joseph. And guess what? He did not know Joseph's God. He did not know about God as much as the others. And so we find that the Lord brings him a message. And old Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? Just who is He? You and I this morning, we're confronted with who He is. The questions concerning the Lord brings forth some answers. Four times in the book of Acts, men legitimately asked the question about who the Lord was, and they got the right answer. In Acts chapter number 8, verse 34, the Bible says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet? Here, as Philip has gone down and he preaches to that Ethiopian eunuch, he preaches unto him the Lord. He preaches unto him the message. And this man says, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? Oh, thank God for that other man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he legitimately asked the question. And the Bible says, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Jesus. Thank the Lord, that's the message we have. Who is He? Why, He's the Lord. Well, who's the Lord that I should obey Him? And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that He's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Here is old Saul on the way to Damascus. He had authority in his hand to go to Damascus. And anybody that was worshiping and following after Jesus, he had the authority to arrest them, put them in jail, and even to put them to death. And so he's going from Jerusalem to Damascus. And as he goes, he has an encounter with God. And he says, who art thou, Lord? Legitimate question. Who is the Lord? Well, the Lord answered him, and he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, old Saul was a very wise man in the books. He was a very wise man in his religion. Later on, Saul, who later becomes Paul, tells us that he was the highest of his religion. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And those Pharisees were just it was a sect. It was a group just like we say Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists, different groups. Well, they were Pharisees. And Paul later says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. That meant Paul knew what he was talking about. He didn't have to have anybody teach him. He knew of what the Pharisees believed. But it wasn't enough to take him to heaven. And he thought he was doing God a favor because here's this group of apostles that are going out preaching the gospel and stirring up havoc in the people in the place of Jerusalem. And so he is under authority of the high priest to go out and stop that movement. It's causing trouble. And Saul was very zealous in what he was doing. He felt he was doing right and doing the will of God. All but one day he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He met the Son of God. Who art thou, Lord? I hear the voice. I understand what I hear. But who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. In Acts chapter 10, verse 2, it says there was a devout man, one that feared God, with all of his house, and gave much alms, and he prayed to God always. Acts chapter 16, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Thank God, just believe upon the Lord. Salvation is a very, very easy thing. Now, a lot of people made it hard. A lot of religions have made it hard, but salvation is very simple. It's very easy. Just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him, that He went to Calvary for you. He died there upon Calvary's tree. He shed His blood to pay the debt of sin. Sin accumulates in our life and we're born sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're born sinners. The problem is we're sinners by choice. Somebody says, well, I'm trying to do the best I can. The best you can is not enough to reach God. Well, I'm trying my best to hold on, hold out, give in, give up. Just believe on the Lord. Just trust Him. And He will make you a new creature in Christ. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. I'm glad we can seek the Lord. I'm glad we can call upon Him. And so old Pharaoh, he has a confrontation now between him and Moses, and really it's between him and God. And then he has a question, who is the Lord? But we notice here, he says, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So now we find Pharaoh's rejection. He just says, I don't know Him, I don't want to know Him, and you're not going. Little did Pharaoh know that just in a little while, he'd be ushering them out of the land of Egypt. We know the story that later on, the different plagues that came upon Egypt. And if you will, when you read about the plagues that came upon Egypt and the different things, the frogs, the lice, the blood, the water, the flies, all those things, many of those were a direct attack upon the gods, little G-O-D-S, of Egypt. They worshipped the fly, they worshipped the frog. They worshipped the water. They worshipped everything except the true and living God. And so when God confronted Pharaoh, let my people go, and Pharaoh says, I don't know you and I'm not going to do it, but before it's all over with, Pharaoh knew who God was. Pharaoh realized that God, the God of Israel, was the God that had power over the things of earth and over the things of the air. And so we find that when Pharaoh used these words in verse number 2. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord? Now he uses the same word here that Moses used in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. You'll notice in the spelling, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You know what Moses said? And Jehovah said, let my people go. The word Lord in all capitals in the Old Testament is the word that's translated from the word Jehovah. So here Moses said, Jehovah says, let us go. Jehovah, God. Lord, God. And Pharaoh said, Who is Jehovah?
Use the same word.
Who's Jehovah?
Well, He's the Lord of heaven. And so when Pharaoh asked the question, he is just about, in just a little while, going to understand what the answer is. Who is Jehovah, by the way? He controls it all. Everything that's going on in this whole world that we think is so out of kilter, out of shape, and out of control, guess what? It's in control with God. God knows all about it, and really and truly, I believe it's strong enough that I believe God just ordered it to get us from one place, point A to point B, to one day we're at the point when Jesus comes and we're going to be with Him. May the Lord help us. I believe probably this old Pharaoh, he died lost because he rejected the light that God gave him. Who is Jehovah? It could be that Moses tried to tell him, but he rejected it. Just like we try to tell people today, who is Jesus? You see, Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so we find that Jesus is our deliverer. He's our Joshua. He's our one that has come to be our deliverer. You remember I told you a while ago, God always has a man. God had a man at the end of the 400 years here in the book of Exodus, and that man was the name of Pharaoh, or of Moses. At the end of Malachi to Matthew, God had a man. John introduced him, but the man was none other than Jesus Christ. We've been living now in this old world for quite a while. This generation has gone on and on and on. Guess what? God still has a man. And one day He's coming from glory. He's our Lord. And so we find that Moses died lost because he rejected the light that God gave to him. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19, then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the same Pharaoh now, it's a few pages over, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as Jehovah had said, or the Lord. So here, his own magician said, this is the hand of God. This is the hand of Elohim. This is the hand of the God of heaven. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And he died without God, without hope. Later on, Pharaoh recognized his problem. And within himself, he understood that he had made some wrong statements. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. He said, I've sinned against the Lord, Jehovah your God, and against you. Now therefore, forgive, I pray thee. We find that Pharaoh now is understanding who is the Lord. The plagues have come and gone. People have died. Egypt has been almost dismantled. Their crops have been eaten by the locusts, and the flies have swarmed them, and the frogs have invaded them. And the Bible says that the river Nile turned to blood. Preacher, do you believe that? I believe that. You see, one of the great gods of Egypt was the river Nile. That was their god. Another god they had was a fly. I mean, if it moved, if it had any sort of life, they worshipped it as God. And God said, all right, if you think He is so good and that God is so good, let me show you what I can do to your God. And one of these days, God's going to take this old world which we live in, and they're going to find out who really God is. Praise the Lord, I know. And I'm glad I can say that our congregation, we trust the Lord, we know who the Lord is. There's a world outside that door that does not know who the Lord is. We need to tell them. How can we do that? Well, we can be like Moses. And just, if God gives you direction, just go tell them. Or we can live before them a right kind of life. We can say the right kind of words. We can do what we ought to do as a Christian. Because you see, this lost world, this one, they know how a Christian is supposed to live. Do you know that? They know how we're supposed to live. They know how we say what we believe.
And so we can live a life that's honoring to our Lord. We can live a life that's good for our God. And we can tell people there is a God. Well, who is He? And we can turn over to the New Testament. We can find out and tell them, oh, He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Deliverer. This morning, the Lord said, Pharaoh said, but the end statement was, God said. May God help us today not to reject Him. May God help our country. Somebody requested prayer for our nation and how we need that. We're in such a terrible state. You know why? Because we've asked the question, who is the Lord that we obey Him? Who is God that we'd follow Him? We know not your God. Well, I'm sure, according to the Word of God, that before it's all said and done, they'll be just like Pharaoh. They'll know. Because every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, oh, praise the Lord. They're going to bow to Him. They're going to recognize Him. They may not bow on this side of heaven, on this side of eternity, but they will bow before God. And they'll give homage to the Lord of glory. He is the Lord. May God help us to declare Him to our generation. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And later on He says, we may declare His generation. That's our job this morning, to declare the generation of our Lord. Let's stand together this morning.